Okay, we are, it's time to pick who we are with Gimel and Aleph. And the question was, we brought two different shittas. So basically, Rabbi Yehuda had two psukim. Yishuv Yeladah Atil Adonah told them that a son born from a Shibcha Kanis is considered not related to her father or her brother because she's born from a non-Jewish lady. And the pasuk of Eishes Avin, it has to be a woman eligible for kedushin, which excluded a non-Jewish lady, That's what Rabbi Akiva Yehuda said. Rabbanon did not have the pasuk of Bat Eishes Avin, because they learned that Yarchai is a second love. So they had the process of Yarchai and Simcha Yacharai. There we learned that a son born from a Jewish mother is a Jew, but it doesn't say she suffered as Simcha Yacharai. It doesn't say that the mother will move her grandchild away, because it's not your grandchild. We learned out that even though biologically it's yours, it's not considered related to you, not as a father, and therefore, not as a brother. That's what we learned now. So we're up to, we're going to start again from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines to the bottom of Chav Gimel Amid Aleph. But the Gemara later, Summer Ravina, I am the Chav Rabban Abba Bat Yisrael Bat Kusha. From the fact that Ravina said that Ben Dikla, Abba Bat Yisrael Bat Kori Dikla, seems to indicate that he holds that the kid is considered a kasher, right? And that's the machlokes later on. And for the Gemara, the mums of Lehavi, kasher nami Lehavi, granted that he doesn't hold that it's a mamzer, because he doesn't seem to indicate in any way that it's a mamzer, but it's not a kasher 100%. Talking to Lehavi, it's considered blemished. The fact that his father is a guy does create some blemish. He's completely Jewish. He's not a mamzer. He can marry any Jewish man or any Jewish lady, but he's not allowed. If the woman, she wouldn't be able to marry a kohen. That's what this Gemara is saying. Rashi, Leimik Sever Avin Avlat Kasher, the common pligi b'Achayvus. This is a machloikus in Achayvus. Okay, back to Gemara. Hi, I'm sorry, Papa Mikri, I said Papa. That pasuk is written by the seven nations. It's talking the pasuk that you will go into Eretz Yisrael, you shall wipe out the seven nations, and don't marry them. It's talking about relationships with the Shiva Umay. This is not talking about all the Goyim in general. So how do I know that this applies to all Goyim? Maybe by Shiva Umay, it's different. How do I know by other Goyim that we go by matrilineal descent? Maybe it's a special halacha by the Shiva Umay that if the mother is from the Shiva Umay, it's not Jewish. Maybe it's only that. Look, the Gemara, Kiyasir, the Rabbis, Kolam Asirim. It says Kiyasir, right, because he will move. That means the Pasuk is giving you a reason. By giving you a reason, the Pasuk is including others as well. Because the Torah is telling you the reason, and the reason is spreads it around to all Goyim as well. Rashi, the Shiva Umay Ksiv, the Sharai Tzichavim, other non-Jewish ladies, we know that the mother comes, how do I know that the child is like the mother? Now, this opens up a whole discussion. I would like for a minute to explain myself before there are any questions. There's a Machloi Gisrach asks, whether we dash in time of the crop or we don't dash in time of the crop. So my point is about chat, whether we, I don't think I pushed the recording on this. Sorry, I missed the first few minutes. Okay. There's a machloikis throughout chat. Not going to be so bad. There's a machloikis throughout chat. If we dash in the reasons for the pasuk or not. Now, the Shiva Umayis were the epitome of bad goyim. Clear in the pasuk, Kabbalah to Eretz Canaan, they were considered very bad. Now, if we learn, I want to explain this. If we don't dash in time of the crop, so then the pasuk here is trying to give you the reason why we pick on the Shiva Umayis.
We on our own would not figure it out. We on our own would say, why are we picking on the Shiva Umas? And we would shrug our shoulders and say, that's what the Rabbeinu Shalom wanted. But at the same time, the Torah decided to tell me why we pick on the Shiva Umas. Because the Shiva Umas are very big guys in the Avodah Zarah, much worse than all the other Gayim. And therefore, there's a fear that they will influence your grandchildren. So the Pasuk is explaining to us why we're picking on the Shiva Umas. But if we learn that we figure out reasons on our own, we didn't need the Pasuk to tell us that. On our own, we would have figured out that the Shiva Umas are worse because they're terrible wives of the Avodah Zarah, and they will persuade your kids. If you don't dash in time in the crow, that means when you see a Pasuk, you don't figure out and say, oh, Shiva Umas are different because. You just say, Shiva Umas. So the Pasuk here wanted to reveal to me why we're picking on the Shiva Umas. If you are Dairish time in the crop, then I don't need the Pasuk to tell me the reason. I know the reason. Must be the Pasuk is telling me the reason to include other Gayim as well. So the only way I can include other Gayim from the fact that the Torah tells me, do not marry with a guy, do not have children with a Gayish lady because do not have children with a Gayish man because the man will influence your grandchildren, which is the inference that if it would be a woman, it wouldn't be your grandchildren, is because I don't need that pasuk. I don't need that pasuk. Since I don't need that pasuk, And then I would expand it to all nations. I can only expand it to all nations if I would figure out the reason of the person taking your grandchildren away on my own. So why did the Torah write it? Must be the Torah meant to include all Gayim. But if you learn that we don't darshan time of the crop, that means without the Torah writing it explicitly, I wouldn't know why Shiva Umas are being picked on. I wouldn't on my own figure it out. So then the reason is there not to include other Gayim, but to explain Shiva Umas. And therefore maybe by Shiva Umas, matrilineal descent is true, but not by other Gayim. So therefore, using Ki Yatzer, by the fact that the Torah says Ki Yatzer, which includes an extra pasuk, which includes other Gayim, is only because it's an extra pasuk. And it's only an extra pasuk because I would have figured out the reason on my own. So by writing the extra pasuk, it's saying not only Shiva Umas, but other Gayim as well. But if I don't dash in time of the Kra, so then it's not an extra pasuk. If it's not an extra pasuk, I have no right to include any more than what I see in front of me, which is the Shiva Umas. Yes?
It seems to make more sense than if you have that extra pasuk to dash in, you dash in only nations that are over Avodah Zarah. There's seven nations plus nations that are over Avodah Zarah. Why?
No, all the nations.
Give you the right to get to every God. No, it's the seven nations plus any other nation, but there's a lot of Avodah Zarah. That would make a lot more sense. I mean, that would jump to every single nation.
So again, it's a good question. I don't have a good answer except to say that in the Tyrus days, all Goyim arrived at Avodah Zarah. And let me explain. See, we live in a world where there's no Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. Chazal removed the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah from the world. We don't wake up with a desire to go serve idols. We laugh at it. We think it's stupid. Doesn't make any sense. It's because there's no Yetzer Hara. In the days where they had a Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah, it was a very enjoyable thing. They woke up wanting to serve Avodah Zarah, like people today would wake up with a desire for having illicit relationships. Or eating food that's not cooked. There was a desire. It was tasty. It was enjoyable. We don't have enjoyment in Avodah Zarah. Therefore, all Goyim served Avodah Zarah. The Yidden served Hashem. The Goyim served Avodah Zarah. You had individual Goyim who were gay to Hashem that didn't serve Avodah Zarah. But was few and far between. And therefore, all Goyim were serving. Now, you're asking me, when Goyim stopped serving Avodah Zarah, if there are Goyim that stopped serving Avodah Zarah, and according to the Rambam, Islam is not Avodah Zarah. So then, you have a question. So how do I know that for them we go by matrilineal descent? That's your question. What would be the source? The Pasuk is including all Goyim because all Goyim served Avodah Zarah. That's what happened. They weren't as into it as the ones in Eretz Yisrael were. Eretz Yisrael Goyim, before the Yidden got there, was a real thing. They really meant it. Another Goyim went along, but it wasn't as dedicated, right? That's what Rashi is going to explain. So therefore we need a pasuk to say not only the real ones, but even the ones that follow along, which is the rest of the Goyim. Your question is, but it's mashmit because of Avodah Zarah. What happens if a nation stops serving Avodah Zarah? Would that change matrilineal descent? It doesn't. You're asking what would be the source in the pasuk. I don't have a good answer.
Rabbi, can I ask maybe a similar question? I'm not quite sure. Why isn't that explanation exclusionary? Why don't we say that it's only the seven that engage in Ki Yasir? Why do we say that it's only them who, A, believe
actually,
that?
That's the way to answer your question. That it seems that the seven nations were the what word am I looking for? Very dedicated of the Avodah Zarah, much more so than the other nations.
Uh-huh.
The other nations went along. These guys really meant it. And therefore, the seven nations would have been singled out for their adherence and following of Avodah Zarah in a very serious manner.
They did the outreach.
They did the outreach, yeah, that's right. Okay. They were the evangelicals.
Yeah.
Yes.
Aren't we using this pasuk to know that by Jews that it's only...
Again, the pasuk is teaching us by using the word bincha instead of bitcha that we go by mother and not by father. That is what that... Hold a second. But the reason that the pasuk, the elaboration of Ki Yasir is extra. There would have been another way to teach us that without saying, because he will turn your son away. I can figure that out on my own. Now, I would have had another pasuk to tell me it's only by son, not by daughter. I would have figured that out. But I could have used not this elaborate explanation. Why is this explanation necessary? So according to Rav Shimon, who all throughout Torah, Darshan Taima Dekra, always says that we go figure out the reasons on our own, the explanation is superfluous. I would have figured it out on my own. Therefore, the explanation is to teach me all Goyim. According to the other Mani Amar, I never explain reasons on my own. So the Pasuk is explaining why we're picking on the Sheva Umos. Therefore, it's not extra. Now, you're right. There's a drasha here that we are getting from the word bincha. But for that, the Torah could have written it without writing a whole explanation. Let's read it inside. Fact the Gemara.
Those that don't darshan, how do they know the rest of the world?
Yeah, well, that's the Gemara question right now.
Okay.
In fact, the Gemara, Kiyasir l'rabbis kol hamasirim. The extra kiyasir is to include all Gayim. In fact, the Gemara, Nichol, Reb Shimon, the Darish, time of the crop. That works if kiyasir is extra, according to Reb Shimon, who darshans reasons of the psukim. El rabbanim in olu. How about the Rabbanon? How do they know it? Zakti Gemara, you know how they know it? Rabbi Yaisi Rabbi Yehuda's way. From Ki'ish Ki'ikaches Bas Eishes Aviv. Right? So, let me explain now. Remember we had two different... Rabbi Yaisi Rabbi Yehuda learned out matrilineal descent from the word Eishes Aviv, a woman that your father has a valid marriage with. He didn't need the pasuk of Ki'asir. He didn't need this pasuk. So the Rabbanon, who argue in Reb Shimon, agree to him. They say that Bas Eishes Aviv is not to add a lav, but it's to teach me that a non-Jewish woman's son is not considered your son. Like Reb Yaisi Reb Yehuda. The Rabbanon, who argue in Reb Yaisi Reb Yehuda, they are Reb Shimon. They hold that I have another source for a Gaish lady, and that's Kiyasir. So the two machloikas then become intertwined. The Rabbanon who argue in Rabbi Yaisi Rabbi Yehuda is because they have Kiyasir. And Rabbi Yaisi Rabbi Yehuda who argues in the Rabbanon is because he doesn't have Kiyasir. So the two machloikas then become intertwined. So the Gemara, Mantana, the Pomegalay, Rabbi Yaisi Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. You're right. Those who don't agree to Rabbi Shimon have to agree to Rabbi Yaisi Rabbi Yehuda. That the source of matrilineal descent is not from the Pasuk Kiyasir, but rather from the Pasuk Yishkas Bas Eishes Aviv. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, B'Shiva Umayt, Reb Shimon, the Darish Time of the Krah. No, the case where Reb Shimon is talking about is the following case. The Perek HaMakabal, in the ninth parak, Bavav Metziah. It says, Amona Aniyah, Eme Mashkin in Eisah. A poor, now the halacha is as follows. The pasuk says, Leisachbel Beged Amona. Do not take collateral from an Amona. Now, the pasuk does not say a reason. Comes along Reb Shimon and says, why is the Torah saying no from the Amona? It doesn't say no from Yisayman. It doesn't say no from other people. Why is it picking Amona? So Reb Shimon says, you know why? Because when people take collateral, they give it back and forth. Because when the person needs it, you have to give it back to him, then pick it up. So this man will be going to the Amona's house daily, in the morning to drop it off, at night to pick it up. And that won't be healthy for a man in an Amona. That's called time of the crumb. And Reb Shimon, because of that, says it's only true by an Amona that's poor that you have to return it and pick it up. But an Amona that's rich, that you pick it up and you never have to give it back till she pays back the loan, there's no risk of taking a mashkin. And Rabbanu say, excuse me, Pasuk says, Leisach Beged Amona. Don't try to figure out the reason and base halacha on it. No time for the crowd. So there's the machlokes. So Shmita Rashi brings it. Amona aniyah ein mashkin enaisa. Shimon says, a poor Amona, I'm not allowed to take a mashkin. Aval ashira mashkin enaisa. But a rich Amona, I do take a mashkin. She'ein atachayv l'hachzula. I don't have to give it back to her. You don't spread a bad name for her amongst her neighbors. There's no man going in and out of the house twice a day. Alma Darish time at Leisach Beged Amona Mishim Shem Ra. He dashes the reason of Leisach Beged Amona is because of Shem Ra. Umaytzi Ashir Menaklau, and he excludes the rich lady. Even if the Pasuk would not have explained the reason. Right, Havadarish time in the Chitim Shem Kiyasir is Bincha. He would have figured it out because of Kiyasir is Bincha. I don't need a pasuk to explain it. Yasir Kraw, Kiyasir L'Rabbi Shara Masirim. So I have Kiyasir to include other Masirim. Ella L'Rabbanon Itzur Kraw L'Frushi Taima, B'Zayin Umas Gufayu. I need the pasuk to explain the reason by Zayin Umas. U'Lemute Shara Umas Einen Adukim Bavadis Kachavim Kamaisam. And to exclude. This is the way the Torah is telling you a reason, and I would exclude other Gayim to the Kaimalon. It seems that the Gayim that lives in Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha. For Gayim, the opposite is true. That, whatever you want to call it, Hashma that exists in Eretz Yisrael, makes the Gayim worse. El Minig have the same B'Yadayim. They just follow the Minig. Doesn't have an extra pasuk. Rishar imus minola. With the klasi aminim in Sanhedrin. Interesting. Rashi says we have a similar gemara in Sanhedrin. It says over there a king shouldn't marry a lot of women. Velo yasir levavai. And they shouldn't turn his heart. So the rabbanim say the pasuk is explaining to you why a king shouldn't marry a lot of women. So therefore, if he has women that won't turn his heart away, he's allowed to marry them. And Reb Shimon says, no. Reb Shimon is saying, I would have known the reason without the Pasuk writing it. Right? So therefore, the Pasuk Layasu Levavi is extra. The same reason. Because the Rabbanan say, when the Torah wrote your reason, it's because the Torah wanted you to know the reason. Reb Shimon says, I would have known the reason of my own. Dr. Gemara, the same thing. The Reb Shimon, have a Layasu Lerabuye. Layasu is used as a reboy. The Malab Perusha the Krav and the Shina Bekaima. Because I dash in reasons without the pasuk explaining. Rabbanon, lo yitash in time for the krav alma, but normally they don't. Ha, krav perish time, here the Torah is telling you a reason. So it's the same kind of machlokes. When writing a reason, for those who dash in reasons without it written, it's an extra pasuk. For those who don't dash in reasons, this is an exception to the rule that the Torah gave you a reason. So the same thing is here. So the Gemara answers, if you argue in Reb Shimon, you agree to Reb Yaitzi, Reb Yehuda, that the source is Eishes Avicha. Now, so we have two Tanoim. Yaitzi, Reb Yehuda, and those who are old like him, learn out matrilineal descent by a Shivcha from a Yishav Yeladah to Yeladana. In fact, everybody agrees to that. All Tanoim agree that by Shivcha Knanis, the source for matrilineal descent is the Yishav Yeladah to Yeladana. And even if he lives with a Shivcha, he has children, they're not his children. By a sixth, by a non-Jewish lady, there is a machlokes tanoim. Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yehuda learns it comes from the pasuk, Abath Eishes Avicha, which is a sister. Why did the Torah write it? And then the Torah wrote Achais Chahi, which according to Rabbi Yehuda said it's not to add it a lot. So Eishes Avicha is to limit. Sister is only from a woman that your father has a valid marriage in, excluding a non-Jewish woman. And Reb Shimon, who is the one that argues in Rabbi Yehuda, says no. Eishes Avicha is to add a lot. Tiyasir is the extra blessing that teaches me matrilineal descent by all Goyim. Dr. Mishnah Bait. Me to Kiddush Achas Mishnei Achoyas. Now, how that works, the Gemara is going to explain. Somebody was Mekadosh one of two sisters, Ve'en Yedeya Eitzah Mehen, and he doesn't know which of the two sisters he married. Now, this can happen two different kinds of ways. When we get to the Gemara, we will discuss it, so we'll leave it for the Gemara. And now, so what does he do? He can't live with any of the two, because it might be the wrong one, and he's living with his wife's sister. So, what does he do? Nice and get Liza, the get Lizu. He has to divorce both, and he can't be married to either. One of them is his wife, one of them is his wife's sister. He doesn't know which one is his wife and which one is his wife's sister. Therefore, he's stuck. He cannot marry these people. He has to divorce both because he doesn't know which one is his wife. Rashi. Then you day aze mem kiddush asa bishteya. The chochod of the chod de ikal meimar zuach haisisha. Because any one of them, you can identify as being your wife's sister. What? Sorry? No, you don't pay Ksuba to both of them because they have to prove that they're your wife. Plus the fact it's before Nisuan, and that's questionable whether it's a Ksuba by an they're possible Kuna. Correct. Each of them is a Safek Grusha and they're possible Kuna. This is biblical.
Rabbi,
now,
the reason
this mission is here is because of the next line. Mace, the guy died, and he has one brother. So now that brother has a chmitzah of Yibum, but he doesn't know to whom. Right? So he can't do chalitza, he can't do Yibum, because number one, he might not get the right one, and it's a chayziku kasai. One of these two women is bound to him. Not allowed to marry the sister of the woman bound to him while she's bound to him. So he can't marry either of the two. Now, he has not a chayzikushna, he's not married to any of them, but it's a chayziku kasai. Right, the woman is bound to him, one of the two. The other one is the sister of the woman bound to, you're not supposed to marry her. So what do? Chalitza to both. One of the two is your chalutza, and one of the two, you don't know which one, so you give chalitza to both. Rashi?
Rabbi, can I ask a question about, before we leave the guy who died? He gives a get to both. Does that mean he's supporting both?
He didn't consummate the marriage. This is Erison. He has no obligations yet. But he did Kedushin to one of two sisters, and how that works we'll get in the Gemara.
But
now, he's married to one of the two without consummating the marriage. She has no husbandry obligations to them.
What about his support obligations to them? Does he have none?
Well, support obligations until after the chuppah, after the nisuin.
I forgot that. Okay.
A husband's support obligations start at chuppah. Kedushin is done before chuppah, and there are no support obligations at that point.
Wow. Thank you. I'd forgotten that.
And he doesn't have any rights in her property till then. So this is a pre-stage. She is an HSH. But he has no obligations to her, and she has no obligations to him. But they're married, in the sense that they need a get. And he doesn't know which one he's married to. He can't consummate the marriage with either of the two, because he might get the wrong one, and it's his wife's sister.
Uh-huh.
Whatever the case is, they don't know either. That's going to have to be the case. Either that, right, that's what we're going to talk about. We'll leave it for the Gemara for that. So if he died and he has one brother, Chaylitz L'shteyim, Rashi, Chaylitz L'shteyim, the Lo Yada Ezi Yivimtoi, he doesn't know which one is his Yivama. Umichlitz Chadav Yivuma Chadaloi, he can't give Chalitza to one and then do Yibum to the other. That would have been an Eitzah. Give Chalitza to one. If she's your Chalitza, fine. Then the other one is okay. Do Yibum to the other, and if she's the one, so you did Yibum. You can't do that. The Achoyz Chalitza Asur Loi Medrabanam B'chayav. Because the Rabbanan banned marrying the sister of the woman you give Chalitza to. So if you give Chalitza to one, you can't marry her sister, rabbinically. And you can't do Yibum to one of them right away. The Duma Loi Zu Yibim Tai. Because maybe it's the wrong one. The Kapanga Bachayz Du Kukasa Dava Kiyishtai. See, that would have been an Eitzah. Do Yibum to one of the two. And Mamarashach. If it's the right one, you did the mitzvah of Yibum. If it's the wrong one, her sister goes out because she's the wife of your sister. So she's an Erva, she goes free. But it's not allowed because you're not allowed to marry the sister of your bound one. You don't know which one's bound to you. So by picking one, you might be picking the wrong one, even though when you do it, you've freed the other lady, but you did an Isser. You married the sister of the woman bound to you.
Two brothers, could each one marry one?
That's the next case in the Mishnah, we're going to see. That's exactly what we're going to. This is the Mishnah. We're in the middle of the Mishnah. How you like Shnayim? If he had two brothers, Echad Chaylitz, the Echad Miyabim. So the first one can't do Yibum, because he might be doing Yibum to the sister of the one that's bound to him. So he has to give Chalitza. The second brother can say, Mamar Shach. Did my brother get the right one? I can marry that woman's sister. I never gave her chalitza. And she's not bound anymore. Nobody's bound anymore. If my brother got the wrong one, so I'm doing the mitzvah of evil. What? Only the chalitz can't marry a chais chalitza. The other brothers can marry the sister of the chalitza. So here comes Rachel and Leah, sisters. We don't know which one was married to this guy. So brother number one can't do evil. Because if he does Yibum, he might be getting the wrong one. So he does Chalitza. So he gives Rachel Chalitza. So we say, listen, if Rachel was the one married to the guy, so then Rachel got Chalitza. Leah has no bound to anybody. So here comes the other brother who didn't do the Chalitza, and he can marry Leah. Not the sister of his Chalitza. He never gave the Chalitza. If the guy who gave Chalitza to the wrong one, that's great. The guy does Yibum. He was Mekayim the mitzvah of Yibum. Mamonoshech, he's allowed to marry her because it's not forbidden to him. And the Zika is off. Once the guy gave Chalitza, if she was the one that needed it, there's no Zika. It's gone. He can marry the sister. And if it's the wrong one, so now he's doing Yibum, which is great.
Rabbi, when they do the Chalitza, God knows which one the other brother was, the late brother was married to. Do they couch their chalitza declaration in conditional terms? Do they change the language?
Regular chalitza.
But it could be the wrong person. Just like the
oh, there was a waste of a ceremony.
It's not
a
vain
waste of a
statement
ceremony.
They wasted people's
time. That's all they did.
But we don't make false statements. We're declaring before God certain things. God knows which is the correct sister.
Let's go back to the original case. The guy married one of two sisters. We come to give a get to both. In the get, he says, I am divorcing my wife. One of them is his wife and one of them is not.
So he's one of the gets is valid and one of the gets is vain, is a vain statement, is a useless statement. And one of them is not.
Same thing by Chalitza. You're 100% right. One of them is valid. Let's say one brother would do Chalitza to both. One of them is valid, and one of them is a waste of time.
If I'm not sure whether I made a bracha on a food,
it's a bracha. It's no bracha by Chalitza.
This is the essence of my point. I thought Chalitza was a biblically required statement that would have the same power.
There is a statement saying, he doesn't want to marry me.
Yeah, I know,
he
but it's
said,
directed.
Chalitza, she gets up in front of Bezin and says, my Yavam is not marrying me. There's no bracha made. There's nothing wrong if a guy does Chalitza for no reason. There's nothing wrong done.
It feels wrong. I mean, it's a bad
thing. I don't know why more than a get.
Because
why are you more bothered by chalitza than you are by get?
I am not. I'm just as bothered by the get. I am. I just think that in the minimum of one of these cases, you are issuing a biblical item and making a biblically required statement that is, you know, is misdirected on one of the two. And I would my wrong instinct clearly would assume that if you might be forced to do that, it may not be a bracha, but it may be closer to an oath that you don't do that.
I don't know. You're not swearing. You're not doing anything wrong.
I know.
Now, let's
it's
say
not enough,
but... you have a lulav and an asterisk that you don't know are kosher. You have two of them. One is kosher, one is not. So you shake them both. You didn't do anything wrong by shaking the wrong one. You wait until you touch.
Now I know how lucky I
am.
If you...
Ed.
The one that he does yibum with, does he have to give her a new ksuba?
That was a sugging ksuba that he Obama takes over the husband. He takes over his husband's ksuba.
But she might have been married to him secondly, where that ksuba was invalid because he was marrying two sisters.
And so that goes into fact whether a ksuba existed by an arusa or not. You're right. There would have to be some kind of monetary commitment made to the woman that he does yibum.
So it might be the same amount as a ksuba, where the erusin, you don't have
that. It would have to
that.
Be worked out. Exactly the details, we'd have to figure it out.
In other words, what I'm asking is before he does yibum, does he have to give her a ksuba? That's what I'm
and
asking.
What happens if a person's miyabim and arusa that didn't have a ksuba? Not every arusa has a ksuba. So he writes his own ksuba.
Well, this person has to do yibum plus erison. He has to do kedushin, rather, or whatever.
You have to do kedushin. Yeah, right. You're 100% right. He would have to do a kedushin. He would have to go through that it might be yibum, it might not be yibum. Correct.
Okay.
There would have to be a ceremony of kedushin and chuppah. And then yibum, correct. But in those days, they could be mekadesh bebia. One of the ways to do kedushin was by living with her. So he can live with her and say, it's either kedushin or yibum.
And if he divorces her, does he end up having to pay ksuba twice? Because she might
be only one. She's only married to either him as a yavama or to marry him as a wife. So I want to wish everybody a ksivu ksim b'taiva. A good kibbutzar, and in case I hurt anybody or said something in a negative way, please be meichel me. And we should only have a great year. And a Meretz Hashem Monday morning, 10 to 6. A good job.